God's help, this evening I'd like to read from the book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 4. 1 Timothy, chapter number 4, I'd like to read the entire chapter. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Let us bow before him in prayer. This past Lord's Day, we were blessed to witness the beautiful occasion of a wedding. We saw two souls being joined together by faith, God joining together two souls and making them one. And it's truly a blessing to see that. This world would look at that as foolishness. This world would look at marriage by faith and look down upon it, but we know better. We know that there is no one that knows better who is potentially for us than our God. And during the messages in both the morning and afternoon on Sunday, we were asked, first in the morning, we were asked what kind of example we are as believers, whether that be in our marriages or whether that be in our single state, as we heard much about in the afternoon. We were asked, what kind of examples are we being? Are we found occupying now? Are we found living a life now that is pleasing to our God? Is the breath that we're breathing in vain? Are we using that in vain? Or are we instead using what God has given us, the life he has given unto us, to bring honor and glory unto him? And so that thought's been on my mind these past few days about the example that we are to be as believers. And the Apostle Paul speaks to young Timothy here in this chapter about being an example. There are other things that the Apostle Paul here writes to Timothy to give instruction. He begins in the first few verses and he warns of the dangers, potential dangers of false doctrine, false teachings. Then he goes on and he gives examples of godliness, how to live godly in this present world. And then in verse 12, he says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. Be thou an example of the believers. That's what the Apostle Paul here is encouraging, exhorting young Timothy to, that he would be an example to the believer of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in faith, or in spirit, in faith, in purity. In every aspect of our lives, in every aspect of the life of young Timothy, the Apostle Paul is encouraging him, be an example of the believers. Show that you are different. show that your life is different than those of this world. And that's exactly what we're being called to in this day and age. The calling of God is no different now than it was thousands of years ago. The world may change somewhat, the circumstances may change around us, but we are all called to give glory unto God, to be examples, to be witnesses of the believers. I believe that means to be witnesses, to be examples to believers and unbelievers, but we would be examples of believers. The others would look at our lives and they would see, yes, that man, that woman is a believer, that they would see a difference. That's what God's calling us to. The Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, and he mentions a few people in Timothy's life that were godly examples to him. The Apostle Paul mentions that he is encouraged by the faith of Timothy's, I believe it's mother and grandmother. And we have all had, I believe, examples in our lives of believers that either have gone before or maybe are still here with us that really helped bring us to the faith. We have others that we look up to, that we at times aspire to live like, and that brings glory to God. Because even the Apostle Paul said, if I'm going to say it correctly, he said, even as I'm a follower of Christ, be ye followers of me. As you see how I am a follower of Christ, so you follow me. He's always pointing to Jesus Christ. And that's how we are to be in our lives. The others would look at the way we live and that they would see Jesus in us. That they would see a life, a pattern of life that is pattern fashioned after Jesus Christ. That's how we are to be. We are to be examples of those that are around us as well. Not to give glory unto ourselves, for we see much in the scripture, there's really no group that is spoken more harshly to than the Pharisees. Jesus Christ consistently spoke very harshly to them because they did works that they'd be seen of others. And Jesus Christ says, if we do things to be seen of others, then we have our reward. We've received our reward already. We've received the praise of men, and we have no reward in heaven if we do things that we would be seen of others. But when we are to be examples of believers, we don't do it that we would be seen of others to bring glory unto ourselves. Of course not. We are to be examples to others to point them to Christ, not to bring honor and glory unto ourselves. We know that we're worthy of none. And by doing so, by being an example, we can help save others. And that's even how the Apostle Paul here writes in the last verse of this chapter, speaking to Timothy about continuing in the doctrine. He says, if young Timothy continues in the doctrine, then in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So we know that we cannot ourselves save anyone. All we can do is point them to Christ, who does the saving. We are to be used in this world to plant and to water, to abide, to be laborers in God's vineyard, but he ultimately, God alone, can bring that increase. But we can point others to Christ by the way that we live our lives. And that brings us to our role as believers and really our role as a church. If we are not being examples as believers, then really, again, we're living in vain. We're using the life that we've been given in vain. If the church is, if our church, if the church, however you want to say it, is no different than the world, then there's really no point in the church's existence. Do we call people to church to show them something different, to show them a hope? Because the world doesn't have that. So if we aren't being examples, if we aren't being encouragements, if we aren't different than the world, then there's no point of us being here. There's no point of us being a member of a church if we're not going out and speaking and showing, speaking of Christ and showing that our lives are different. That's what we are called onto. A brother mentioned, I really like the way he said this, if I can remember it right. I never thought of it this way. He says, Jesus Christ didn't say, you are supposed to be, or you should be the light of the world, or you should be the salt of the earth. He says, no, he says, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And Jesus Christ says, if the salt hath lost its savor, it's good for nothing. What is it good for? If we as believers aren't different, if we aren't lights, then we're not benefiting our Lord in any way. We're not pointing other souls unto him. We're not being laborers in his vineyard. We're not doing that which he has called us to do. Jesus Christ says in another portion of Scripture that if the light that's within us is darkness, how great is that darkness? If there's no light in us, it's great. It's a deep darkness. So we're called to be lights. Jesus Christ says we are the light of the world. If that light doesn't shine forth from us, this world is full of darkness. This world has no light to offer, no goodness. This world has no goodness to offer. But God looks to us to be those examples, to be those encouragements, to be those lights, to point others to him, to point others to his son. If we aren't doing that, if our gospel is hid, we read, then our gospel is really hid to them that are lost. Those that need it most, those that need the words of life the most, aren't able to receive those words of life if we are not speaking them, if we're not showing this pattern of good works, even as the Apostle Paul here exhorts Timothy to have. So what better place is there to look for an example other than our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ? In 1 John, we read that 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, we read, "He that saith he abideth in him," in Christ, "ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." So if we say we are abiding in Christ, if we use the name of Christ, if we call ourselves Christians, if we call ourselves believers, if we say that we're abiding in him, then we ought also to walk even as he walked. Can we say that we're living that way? Can we point others to Christ as Apostle Paul did? Can we point others and say, the way that you see me live, live that way as well, because I'm just doing what Christ did. I'm patterning, I'm fashioning my life after the life of my Lord and Savior. That's the calling that God has for us, to be these encouragements, to be these examples. So what did Jesus Christ leave behind for us? What kind of example did he leave for us? I believe there's many things we can look to. There's many examples in the Scripture that are left behind for us to read and to study, to know about what kind of example Jesus Christ was. We read of Jesus Christ being a servant of all. Jesus Christ says that he is not like one that sits at the table and is served. But no, he says, I'm the one that serves. Jesus Christ, we read in Philippians chapter 2, made himself of no reputation, humbled himself, became obedient unto death, took upon him the form of a servant. So if Jesus Christ did that, then we are also to fashion our lives after that, to be servants. To be served brings about no reward in heaven, but to serve, to minister, to give of our excess, to give of our possessions, to give of our time. That's being a light. That's being an example. That's being the salt of the earth, and that's what God is calling us to. Jesus Christ also it leaves us an example of suffering for his name's sake. And maybe that's not exactly what we're living in this time. Maybe we're not suffering as we read in the Scriptures, the apostles being beaten and martyred and stoned. Maybe we don't see ourselves suffering in that way, but we have to be ready for that. That's the example that Christ left behind for us, to suffer for his name's sake. We read in the Scriptures, Jesus leaves us an example of forgiveness. That as we have been forgiven for all the wickedness that we have done, so we are also to forgive others. The way that we are shown, the way that we show mercy unto others is the way that we will be shown mercy by our Lord. If our life is not consistent with the life of Christ, if we're quick to put down, if we're quick to discourage, if we're quick to lift ourselves up and not to forgive, we're not following the life of Christ. And then Christ is going to say, I never knew you. At the last day, if we're not living as he lived. So we're given, we could go on and on, really. There's much that Christ, many examples that Christ leaves behind for us. He washed his disciples' feet, again, showing that he has that servant attitude, that servant, humble heart. And he's saying, as you see me washing feet, so do ye likewise. Go serve, give of yourself, and your reward in heaven will be great. So we can't just think of ourselves in our walk of faith. I think it's maybe our natural tendency to focus on our personal relationship with the Lord, and that's great, that's what we should do, but I think we focus on it too much at times, and we isolate ourselves, and we don't go and proclaim this truth that we know. We need to do a better job at that. I need to do a better job at that, because I know that that's what Christ is calling us to, not only to focus on our own individual walk, but also to call others onto the saving faith of Jesus Christ. This hope that this world does not have to offer. Are we ready always to give a reason to explain to others why we have a hope within us? Do they see that hope within us? When times are difficult, when a work situation is bad, when customer service treats us poorly, daily situations that we find ourselves in, are we finding ourselves bringing glory to Him? I believe at times we don't recognize the depth of the spiritual warfare that's going on for us over our soul. The devil is trying to destroy us, and at times we are numb to that. I believe most of the time we're numb to that as we go about our day, and we are tempted and tried, and we don't even at times realize it. We're just living this life, and maybe we're not thinking bad thoughts, but we're not always thinking spiritual thoughts either. We're just going about our day, and we don't recognize there's a great warfare going on. So if we can't be forgiving, if we can't be merciful, if we can't be patient in our daily situations, then how are we going to be faithful in the large things? If we can't be faithful in the little things, the Bible teaches us, then we will never be faithful in the greater things. Do we find ourselves longing for, maybe longing to prove our faithfulness by suffering, by being martyred, by being imprisoned? Do we find ourselves maybe longing to show Christ that we're worthy of Him? If so, I think we have the wrong mind, the wrong attitude. We are to show that we are believers each and every day in the little things. That in every little thing, our life would be consistent with the life of Christ. And again, bringing honor and glory to Him. And also, I was thinking about how quickly we can, in these moments when we're not thinking spiritually, how quickly we can be bad examples as believers. And it's what the scriptures warn us of. And this past Sunday afternoon, we read from 1 Corinthians 7, and we were given much instruction, I believe, from the Lord through His Spirit. We read of how we are as believers, if I can find it. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 20, we read, "Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called." And that's a verse that I can say I don't think of very often. But the brother expounded upon this verse and others on Sunday afternoon. That's been on my mind now these past few days about abiding in the same calling wherein we were called. We are all, I believe, given at times different, I don't know the word I'm looking for, different, we are all called maybe in some different ways. Our lives were different. The sins that we have been living in our former lives are different at times. Not all of us are the same. Not all of us had the same struggles. But we are called, each and every one of us, to a walk with Christ in our own specific way. We are called out of our life of sin into His glorious light, I believe, in all different ways. The sins of my former life that I struggled with may not be the same as yours. The devil tempts us all differently. We are all given, I believe, thoughts from the Holy Spirit of what we need to avoid. What might be a temptation to me might not be to you, and vice versa. So if we are to abide in the same calling wherein we were called, we have to be careful at times as believers. I think we have to be careful not to equate everyone's spiritual walk with ours. Because again, what tempts you might not tempt me, and vice versa. So the example I think that's easy to point out is the example of drinking alcohol. It's an easy example. Maybe we didn't struggle with that in our former life. Maybe we did. Maybe we didn't. And someone else maybe did struggle with alcohol. It was a vice. It was a sin. It was a temptation. It was a snare, a stumbling block for them, however you want to word it. And maybe it wasn't to us. But now we have to be careful as believers, even if that was not our struggle. Let's not put someone down that has that struggle, that has that temptation, that had that former life. Let's not encourage them now that they can drink alcohol when they know that that was something that was a very large temptation for them. As believers, let's understand where everyone comes from. We all have different leadings. We all have different convictions. That's the word I was looking for. We all are given different convictions. In the next chapter, we go on and read in 1 Corinthians 8 about food that has been offered unto idols. And that was an issue here in the church in Corinth where some of the Gentile believers were struggling, thinking, was it right or wrong to eat food that was offered previously unto idols? And the Apostle Paul here is writing, he says, we know that an idol is nothing in the world. An idol is nothing. So is it a sin to eat something that's offered unto an idol? The Apostle Paul is saying, no, because an idol is nothing. It's not a sin. But there were those that were struggling with this because they were brought out of idolatry. They were brought out of worshiping false gods. So to them, eating something that was offered unto an idol was a very large thing. This is not an issue that we struggle with today at all in our modern society. But in that day and age, it was. But the Apostle Paul here is saying, if you know that your brother is struggling with that, if you know your sister is struggling with that, if they're convicted by the Spirit not to partake of that, then don't discourage them in that. Don't discourage them. Understand where they're coming from. Understand their conviction. Be mindful that the life that they live might be different than the life you lived. So being an example of a believer means also to encourage and to exhort and not to put down others' convictions. They might be different than our own. And that's not to say now that if I can't now sin, I can't now disobey God and call that a conviction, because that's not consistent with Scripture. There's nothing I can do that's ungodly that I can say is a conviction that I was given or a feeling that I was given by the Holy Spirit. Of course not. So I'm not saying that we should dismiss sin. We should never take sin lightly. We should never dismiss it. It should always be dealt with. It should always be brought to the light. But the Holy Spirit can give unto each and every one of us different convictions, different things to avoid, different things that to avoid that might easily draw us back into our former life. So let's be careful to encourage each other in that, not to discourage someone else's conviction. Let's not discourage someone and say, oh, don't. It's okay if you partake in alcohol. It's not a sin. There's nothing wrong with it. Yes, that's true. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing sinful about drinking alcohol in and of itself. But when we go to excess and we get drunk, the Bible speaks that those who are drunken will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. It's a serious, it's a grave sin. But let's not put down others' convictions. Let's understand that our lives are all different, and yet Christ is calling us all to live as he lived, to walk as he walked. And we can fall, I believe, into the trap of we can be examples. We can strive to be examples in maybe a fake way. We can try to show ourselves as something that we're not. And again, that's just bringing honor and glory unto ourselves. We're not doing it for Christ's sake. We're doing it for our own sake. And again, the Apostle Paul warns of that. He says that in 1 Corinthians 9, the last verse, he says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. We have to constantly do battle with this flesh that wants to go back to this to our old life. We have to bring our body continually under subjection, because it's possible that we can preach to others. It's possible that we can teach others about Christ, and ourselves, we can be castaways. It's a scary thought, and it's one that I don't think we think of very often. We can teach all nations about Christ, and we can help save others. We can help point others to Christ, but we ourselves might not be saved if we're not doing it out of the right mind, if we're not living as we say that we are living. Is our life consistent with what we are saying it is? If we're telling others that we are believers and our life doesn't show that at all, if we don't have this pattern of good works, we can be in danger of ourselves not being saved, even though we are pointing others to Christ. So let's not strive to be examples to show others how great we are. And let's not be fake examples as believers. Let's not be examples of believers so that others can pat us on the back, or so that we can show ourselves to be like Christ, even though inwardly we're not. That does us no good. We might be able to deceive others. We might be able at times to deceive ourselves. That's how deep we can go into sin. We can go into sin so deeply that we deceive our own selves. We're not going to deceive God, because the Scriptures teaches that God is not mocked. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that he shall also reap. We're not going to sow evil works. We're not going to sow pride, to lift ourselves up. We're not going to sow that and then reap life everlasting. Of course not. Because God is not mocked. In this present world, we see truth being trampled all over. It can be discouraging. We can think, how is it that truth, God himself is truth? So how can it be that truth is being trampled all over? How can it be that it seems like truth is losing the battle? But we know that ultimately that won't be the end. At the end of the world, the truth will prevail. Let's have that hope. Let's have that realization that truth will prevail. The devil knows his end. If God is truth, the devil is lie. He's lies. He's the father of it. He cannot speak truth. Everything he says is deceit. It's lies. And he knows his end. His end is destruction. So why would we follow that? Why wouldn't we follow truth? Why wouldn't we be born again to be believers, to be lights, to be the salt of the earth, to be the light of the world, to show others a pattern of good works that they also can attain, not by our own strength, but by the strength of God, by his Holy Spirit working in us? Is the life that we are living in this flesh giving glory to God? Do we have the fruits of the Spirit evident in our lives? Or are we instead being led of this flesh? Do we have the fruits, the works of the flesh being made manifest through our lives? Or is the fruit of the Spirit coming out of us? Jesus Christ says, learn of me. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Live as I lived. Walk as I have walked, Jesus Christ teaches us. And by so doing, we'll have victory over the devil. We'll have victory over all his deceit. And we'll be with our Lord forever. May God bless his word in our hearts this evening and add much more. Amen.